AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Rocket Mortgage.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. People across the country have entered the thick of a travel nightmare with a winter storm snarling roads and air traffic on one of the busiest weeks of the year. This woman is stuck at Chicago's O'Hare.
My original flight was canceled, and so right now we're just standby passengers.
More than 1,500 flights have been canceled in the U.S. so far today. 700 already scratched for tomorrow. Reporter Bruce Marcus begins team coverage from Eagle River, Wisconsin.
Lots of blowing, drifting snow has made driving difficult, if not impossible, in many places. Virtually all events are canceled. Even people who generally like winter are fed up with all this snow.
Just close my eyes and hope it's gone.
What's the worst thing about it?
The cleanup.
I'm Jim Crisula. Advocates for the homeless across the South are scrambling to find additional space for people as record cold takes aim at the region. Ricky Bates is a homeless man in coastal Gulfport, Mississippi.
A lot of them ain't got nothing. They just barely do have clothes on their back.
Tis the season for a triple-demic. Correspondent Cammie McCormick reports.
Hospitals across the country are reporting a surge in flu, COVID, and RSV cases.
My husband is actually at home right now with COVID. Christmas is canceled for him, and I will test with my daughter on Christmas Eve to make sure that we're safe to go to my parents.
Dr. Sophie Jan in New York.
We are up by 150% for sick visits compared to this time last year. We're up by 300% compared to this time 2 years ago.
45 states are reporting increases in respiratory illnesses.
Doctors say there are signs RSV cases have peaked. President Zelensky made his pitch for more U.S. aid and weapons for Ukraine in a speech before a joint session of Congress last night.
We stand, we fight, and we will win because we are united. Ukraine, America, and the entire free world.
But the Senate has yet to pass a $1.7 trillion government spending bill that includes aid for Ukraine. Face the Nation's Margaret Brennan.
This current package, if it passes in the omnibus, is about $45 billion. That's the largest package to date. And it is estimated that it could take us through May of 2023. But as President Zelensky said himself, honestly, it's not enough weaponry.
The Senate due back this hour to continue work on that bill. A stronger than expected showing for the economy in the third quarter. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
GDP is said to have expanded at a revised annual rate of 3.2% last quarter. That's up from the previous estimate of 2.9%. It marks an acceleration from the contractions in the first two quarters of the year.
The Dow is up 188 points in early trading. This is CBS News.
This hour's newscast is presented by Rocket Mortgage. When you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket.
The Shaw 101 FM, Brookfield's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation is asking drivers to be very careful with their holiday travel. Driving may not even be possible in some parts of Wisconsin tomorrow because of the potential for blizzard conditions. 24-hour road conditions are online at 511wi.gov. Two people who lived at the Wisconsin Veterans Home in King are dead, and people are asking questions about the quality of care. One resident was unsupervised when he went outside to smoke and accidentally started his clothes on fire. Another resident with diabetes slipped into a coma. He apparently didn't get his blood sugar checked for 6 days. He died of a staph infection. The agency that runs the home denies the deaths are due to improper care. In sports, the Bucks lost to Cleveland last night, 114-106. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit wesaysaveit.org. That's wesaysaveit.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council. It's not-
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which is audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2. Catch Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow at its brand new time, 6 to 8 a.m. weekdays.
The city of Shanghai started administering an inhalable COVID-19 vaccine. I hear a lot of you saying the same thing I had in my head. I don't know about that.
As long as they're not just crop dusting everyone.
Crop dusting, that's exactly what I think people would be fearful of. I would not trust the Chinese government. I would trust people who really know about inhaling something and the good that it does you. Of course, I'm talking about Dom and Crute.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
The Earl Ingram Show is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Show, as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us that same number. It's Wednesday. That means my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the docket. Good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Earl. Good to be with you. Dreading it. I mean, the deep freeze that's about to come.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Craig, as I wanted to talk to you about 2023, not 2024, 2023. I wanted to talk with you about 2022, what has happened, your thoughts politically about what happened this year, as we're towards the winding up of it, and what we can expect, and your thoughts and plans for Citizen Action as we head into 2023 and then eventually 2024. But your thoughts about 2022, if you could summarize and sum up what took place.
Well, one has to say, focus, it's another election year in Wisconsin, so elections were front and center, Earl, because this is the battleground of battleground states. And we opened the year very much looking like this could be a wave election for Republicans. It could be like 1994. It could be like 2010, which in 2010 is still having devastating consequences in Wisconsin. Act 10 and the deliberate destruction of organized labor and also these gerrymandered maps and many other things came out of that election. And so we're still feeling the repercussions. So it didn't happen. And in fact, it was the best performance of a president whose party also held Congress in a midterm election, his first one, since the early 1930s, since Franklin Delano Roosevelt's first midterm. So that's historic and amazing.
Which really is unbelievable.
Yeah, and we shouldn't have been able to hold on to the governorship and the attorney generalship. We shouldn't have had the closest U.S. Senate race, even though Mandela Barton fell just short since in over 100 years. Since the first one in 1914. So what happened to do that? Part of what happened is obviously there's an ongoing reaction to the anti-democratic, proto-fascist direction of the Republican Party that we saw in the reaction to Trump in his first midterm, which was a wave election for Democrats then, which sustained itself, though without as much power in 2020 in electing Joe Biden and getting a 50-50 U.S. Senate by winning those last two Georgia seats, which were both runoff elections back in 2020. Well, that continued. So the fear about democracy was part of it. But then, of course, they have packed the U.S. Supreme Court as part of their power strategy with far-right judges who are legislating from the bench with lifetime appointments, and they threw out half a century of precedent and took away a basic constitutional right for women, as everyone knows. And that had a much bigger influence in this election than the polls were picking up. In fact, that's another thing we learned, that polls are very inaccurate instruments as far as what's really going on. And what they said was that they got some of the top issues. Yes, crime. Yes, inflation were big issues, but they weren't as dominant as they thought, especially inflation. But also, there's a cautionary note here for Democrats. Democrat campaign strategy is informed by polls, by the same group, same industry. So it does make you wonder about the issue choices that we make and whether the right ones, that too much faith is put in this polling and its ability to actually divine how the public, not only how the public will vote, but what it will vote on and what it hypothetically would vote on if you change things. Now, having said all that, Earl, about the positive, the scary is these were still razor-thin elections. So all of that has to go right. And a whole ton of work and effort and huge amounts of money raised on the Democratic side, though we were outgunned in the U.S. Senate race ultimately, we still have a 50-50 state and a country with the balance of power very delicately balanced. They still got a House majority, though by a very small margin at the national level. So that tells you that going into 2023 and 2024, we can't take anything for granted. This was a very good election, but all that allowed us to do is eke out some victories and have some, you know, basically very, very frustrating losses like the U.S. Senate loss and six more years of the most unqualified member of the U.S. Senate, which is saying something.
You know, Dr. Craig, guys in positions like you, who are grassroots organizations on the ground, never always with your nose to the grindstone. So here we are. You can breathe a sigh of relief, but only for a moment. And as you stated, these were razor-thin margins. Democrats have a lot more Senate seats to defend. Next year, in 2024, it's pretty clear that you have to start doing the work for that laying the groundwork for that in 2023. On here on the state levels, just so much to deal with, so much to work on. Let's talk a little bit about locally what you anticipate in the coming year, and as you guys continue to ramp up again for 2024, what are the focuses on the state here in 2023?
Well, another budget year, Earl, right? We do two-year state budgets, and it's the only bill that has to pass, and the only probably big one that will become law. Bills can pass, the governor will veto them if they're substantive. The only ones he won't are like things that rename highways and other symbolic kind of bills. And so commemorative sort of stuff, which is important, but it's not the same thing.
Right, right.
So the legislature has the lawmaking capacity, the power of the purse. The governor cannot pass his own budget. He can propose a budget. He proposes they dispose, which is something that was said about presidents as well with Congress. And we have a gerrymandered legislature that is highly undemocratic. That's something out of a, you know, authoritarian country or a semi-authoritarian country where the Republicans can never lose. It's like if you could never win at Pottawatomie, not just that you mostly lost, right? Over once it all comes in the wash. And so it's not a Democratic legislature. A Democratic small d. It doesn't represent public opinion. It would not be a supermajority like this. It would be closer to a 50-50 legislature, even if there was a Republican majority. There could be, but it would be a narrow one if we had democratically elected legislature. And they still have their extreme agenda. They're pushing things like a flat tax, which is a way of lowering taxes on wealthier people and raising them on less on everyone else.
Which is never going to happen. Governor Evers will just veto that.
Well, I hope so. I mean, he didn't veto their last regressive tax cut. He claimed it his own. So I just want to put a cautionary note that Governor Evers needs a little attention on this as well, though he is an ally of ours. He is a little old school about the tax cut.
Okay.
And so, in other words, a 1990s-style Democrat that thinks that's that. But he has been clear he wouldn't do a flat tax, but will he veto the budget if a flat tax is in it? I don't know, because he's been very reluctant to veto any big part of the budget, right, let alone the whole thing, and have a budget fight. I think he needs to. I think we could. I think we will need to, all our whole side, really engage him about doing it. But I'm not going to say it's an inevitability. And then they're continuing to starve local government, school districts. They want to give the surplus away. I'm a little less concerned that Governor Evers will sign off on a flat tax than that he'll sign off on giving, because he's already said in his reelection campaign he wants to do this, take a lot of the surplus in tax cuts that they, and they'll only pass regressive ones, even if they're not a flat tax, rather than actually adequately funding the city of Milwaukee, Milwaukee County, the Milwaukee Public Schools, and all of the other municipalities and school districts across the state that where the state has been reneging on its obligation. It's shared revenue obligation. It has most of the revenue-raising power in our state, and the bargain was it would then, through a broad progressive income tax, share the proceeds of that with local government, with school districts, and they stopped doing it. But yet they continue to monopolize the power to raise revenue, which is why Mayor Johnson, Mayor Cavalier Johnson in Milwaukee, is begging for the authority to raise his own taxes, a sales tax, the most regressive kind, because that's... because he has to get permission for that from the state legislature and others, major cities across the country, permission would not be required of the state legislature.
You know, Dr. Craig, you know, Mayor Johnson is not the first. Clearly, Tom Barrett, former county executive Chris Abley, waged these battles for years in trying to get the state to go along with that. Is there anything that you see that opens the door in your mind that may, that Robin Voss will be amenable to that?
Only with a poison pill. That's what scares me. Will he require some big change in MPS or some big support for voucher schools, or that some percentage go to things they like more police, but not more of the other things you need around police, right, in order to make the community safe? Because, you know, sending police out to deal with mental health crises and drug overdoses and things, that not only is not going to be very effective, it creates a potentially dangerous situation because of the firearms involved. We know a lot of situations where mentally ill people have been shot by police, where mental health professionals would have been able to better navigate the situation, but we don't fund them, right? So they're not coming out to those scenes. Police are.
So,
and they're most expensive. They're far more expensive, too, than what
Dr.
it would
Craig,
take to do that.
I got to get you to hang on a second. We've got to go to a break. Bill from O'Connor Milwaukee, hang on. We'll bring you on after the break. 844-967-2789. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my good friend, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You too can join in the conversation. We'll be right back.
Warning, listening to the devil's advocates may expose you to opposing views.
We've mentioned, inflation is going to be an issue. Let me ask you this. What would you like to see Donald Trump do if you were here? What did you suggest Biden do to address the inflationary pressures we're facing right now?
Well, I can't tell you that because that would be something you could counter and defeat Trump with, or the Republican Party. So tell you.
You think Trump's taking strategy from you on talk radio, Lou?
I mean, you're no Kid Rock, Lou.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter. So all you folks out there, if you haven't registered to vote, register to vote. Get ready to vote. There are so many things on the ballot this November, at our freedom, our liberty, and our way of life. But we'll get to all of that this evening.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m. on the Shaw 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
Telling my girls about my Alzheimer's diagnosis was hard.
But Mom's early detection gave us time to make a plan.
Talk to your family about seeing a doctor. Go to alz.org/time to talk. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 27. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight. Snow likely 7 below. Snow likely tomorrow 1 above. Cloudy skies. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
Show as always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. 844-967-2789. Text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my special guest, Executive Director, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. Let's go to the phone lines and Bill from McConnell, Milwaukee. Hey, good morning, Bill. How you doing? Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
First of all, Merry Christmas, and second of all, thanks for having Dr. Craig on. I have 3 points I'd like to touch on.
All right.
And I'll give you all three, and then I'll hang up. I believe that going into 2023, we got to keep our eyes on Congress. Look for them to do something outlandish, number one. Number two, on the state level, we have to try Ron Johnson and Trump. That also kind of ties with number one. They have to be tried in a court of law, because if we allow this to continue, it will just spiral out of control. And number three, in our state legislature, they have jumped out of bounds and done things that have never been done because they believe they can because of their control. I think we have to jump right back at them when they do this and say, no, we're not going to tolerate this. Because if we don't address all three of those, our country is going to spiral out of control. What do you think, Dr. Craig?
So hang on, Bill. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Bill?
These are all great points. I think he's talking about the House of Representatives, not the whole Congress. And
right.
Yes, at least they're going to do completely crazy investigations and try to find things, or even if they don't really find things, to create the impression on their side that those things exist, since they're not a fact-based party or ideology anymore. And they may do things like hold the whole government hostage with not raising the debt limit, which is a meaningless vote. They've just made it meaningful. And all the debt limit is Congress agreeing to pay for bills we've already accrued. So it is literally like deciding not to pay your credit card bills. It is not like not running up the charge in the first place. So it's silly. But they'll do that as leverage, because it would crash not only the U.S. economy, but probably cause a global recession, if not worse. And if the United States reneged on its commitments, its financial commitments, as the primary lead currency of the whole world economy, the dollar is, that they will use that to try to force massive cuts in things like Medicare and Medicaid, which we know they want to do, and Social Security, because Ron Johnson simply said the quiet part out loud. As far as a prosecution of Trump, look, I agree. In many ways, it's outside of our control, unfortunately. I give Biden credit for getting a very nonpartisan attorney general and trying to reverse the Trump trends, which were using the Department of Justice as his own personal lawyers to do his bidding. But it causes a problem that we have, it's frustrating. It feels like things are moving faster now that Merrick Garland has appointed a special counsel. Merrick Garland himself moved at a glacier pace. And I agree with what Jamie Raskin is saying, that one of the Democrat members of the January 6th committee, that we need to be a country that doesn't just prosecute, the followers,
right,
the folks, but actually the ringleaders and the masterminds of a conspiracy to overthrow our constitutional system.
Bill, thank you. Thank you very much for the call. You know, Dr. Craig, the curtain of 2022 begins to come down, there are some things. I mean, if anybody would have said to us at the beginning of 2022 that the Build Back Better plan, some of it, the infrastructure bills that got through, and some parts of Build Back Better, and some other aspects of things were able to be accomplished, I think we would have all celebrated if we would have known that, there's certainly some things that we can celebrate about from 2022, but there's certainly others that we, realize that this battle that we have with democracy is still in jeopardy. And the fact that, I was talking this morning, Dr. Craig, about the omnibus bill, and the fact that everybody can agree to $858 billion on military, but Republicans refuse $12 billion, for to help, poor children in this country. I mean, those kinds of things just don't make any sense whatsoever, Dr. Craig, but yet that's what we're dealing with. How do you even begin to work with that kind of mentality of people who just don't think that they can find $12 billion to help the poor children in our society, but they can almost come up with $1 trillion for military? I'll never understand that.
Well, you don't, unfortunately. You have to win elections. This myth of bipartisanship, it can exist on occasionally their self-interest with some more, they're not even moderates anymore, more rational conservatives in the Republican Party, the declining number of them, because they tend to be more established legislators, not the young guns. But they've created an ideology where meanness is literally a virtue, because they so much don't like us trying to build on their empathy and therefore their obligation to do something about the lesser among us, right? So their reaction is meanness.
Yeah, hold the thought. Got to go to a break. 844-967-2789 is the number. We'll be right back.
Okay. Oh my God. That one is, I know they're all crazy.
Right. And I know you.
Day Jr. involved.
Seems like it might be is what you're thinking.
Connected to what's happening now.
Him and JFK himself, because I know they're
the crazy right. Pills. Okay, 29 minutes after the hour, Jen Kirkman is here.
You're listening to the best of the Stephanie Miller Show.
I wrote something that I wanted to read. Well, here goes. You're a great friend. I like being with you. But our friendship seems like it's changing. It seems like you've kind of been checking me out lately. And I've been looking at you a lot, too. And I think that's pretty cool. You're the first houseplant I've ever felt this way about. So, do you think it'd be alright if I put my arm around you? Things can get pretty ugly when you're bored after school. Do you like dance music? In an after school program, you can find something way better to do, like hoops, soccer, you can paint, or maybe even do a field trip. Check out afterschoolscene.com. You can have a lot more fun than putting the moves on a house plant. Public service message from the After School Alliance, the Mott Foundation, and the Ad Council.
I'm a good proud king of one man. Child of the Lord, just a hell of a man. When it comes to increasing disease resistance, but much would last me.
WAUK 540 AM. Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Cancellations are growing as a brutal winter storm sweeps the Midwest and Plain States. More than 1,400 flights have been scratched for today, and driving is dicey. The AAA's Robert Sinclair.
Rain, the snow, the ice, it's important that your tires are properly inflated, to have your battery checked. We're expecting 898,000 breakdowns over the holiday.
This woman has advice on the drive from Salt Lake City.
If something happened, I'm stuck in my car, I'd want to have blankets, water, hand warmers.
There are bitter temperatures and blizzard warnings across multiple states. The government's tweaked the numbers on economic growth. Bankrate's Mark Hamrick.
With this latest upward revision, GDP expanded by an annualized 3.2% rate in the recent third quarter. That's not consistent with the notion of a recession, but many economists and business leaders believe the risks of a recession are high for 2023.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
The Shaw 101 FM, New Berlin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matmere with your headlines. Potentially dangerous driving conditions across Wisconsin over the next few days with a winter storm warning in effect until 6 a.m. Saturday. With 3 to 7 inches of snow possible and winds gusting up to 50 miles an hour, visibility could be difficult tonight through tomorrow. And the bitterly cold temperatures remain through Sunday morning with wind chills between 10 and 20 below zero. The UW-Richland Center campus being forced to close at the end of the spring semester in 2023, citing low enrollment and financial pressures. Community members say that's misleading and that UW-Platteville mismanaged the campus. The UW system now focusing on transitioning students, faculty, and staff to other campuses. UW-Platteville will absorb UW-Richland's budget. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Do you love getting rewards when you shop? Then shop Knucklehead CBD and Vapes with the Knuckleheads Club. Every $10 spent gets you closer to 25% off. No matter what you buy, make sure you buy Knuckleheads. Stop in Saturday and Sunday and get 15% off Wellness and Wellness Plus, including Delta 8, THCP, CBD, and more, while getting points towards your next purchase.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue or online at knuckleheads.shop.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes, your one-stop smoke shop.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio, VO5. Let's do it. Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
Stories come to life at your local parks and forests. They're places of wonder, and they're closer than you think. Make the forest part of your story today at a local park near you, or find one at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with my good friend, Executive Director, Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, you guys, let's talk about Citizen Action. Your plans at the beginning of 2022, are you satisfied with your accomplishments? You know, I know you guys expanded in different places across the state. Are you satisfied with the work you put in?
Coming out of the pandemic, yeah, progress. It was very hard in this election to get folks back outside on the doors for things that influence elections. And we fall into kind of a pundit culture, Earl, where everyone thinks that expressing their opinion, someone like social media, that is affecting elections, doing something.
Right.
And obviously it's knocking doors, making phone calls, being out there. But we made progress. We had operations in five regions of the state, member-driven. We made over 109,000 either phone calls or door knocks in the election. And we had a move rate, that is people who move from undecided or for Ron Johnson to Manila Barnes, of 11%, which is very high, which is dramatically higher than anything you could talk about for, say, television ads, for example, because we're having deeper conversations with people and working through what they've heard on TV, say, about Mandela Barnes and cash bail versus who will actually deliver them affordable health care, but, you know, better, good jobs, a fair tax code, no more tax cuts for those doing the best in our society and giveaways, all of that. But you have to work through, you know, the misinformation put out by the other side with some of those voters. So I'm glad we did that. I think obviously, we're only a piece of a gigantic U.S. Senate race, but we all came close, and Mandela Barnes came historically close. But then we did win a state, hold on to a rural state Senate seat in western Wisconsin for State Senator Jeff Smith, a former Citizen Action organizer. He was the top Republican target, and rural areas continue to trend more and more red. And we did a lot of door knocks and phone calls, but Jeff Smith did a lot of retail politics, and that's the kind of candidate you need in order to win in rural areas. These are places that expect to see you and expect you to understand the local communities and not just speak with national Democratic talking points. So, and I would say also, Earl, because I'm jumping around a little bit, we got some new blood in the state legislature that's very progressive. We played, that is, we were part of, we endorsed in the primary that led to Darren Madison becoming a new state representative from Milwaukee and some of the North Shore suburbs, a rising African-American leader who's going to make a difference. Ryan Clancy, another very progressive person who won the district I live in the Bayview neighborhood, because Jonathan Brostoff vacated that seat in order to go and run for common
mayor,
council.
Right.
So he is now
on the common council. Right.
So, in fact, yeah, when we get to 2023, I'll mention Mr. Brostoff. So we actually did a whole lot. This is more behind the scenes. He had developed on the Milwaukee City County Task Force on Climate and Economic Equity a very visionary plan for Milwaukee, both to meet the greenhouse reduction targets, but also to do it in a way that will expand opportunity for everyone left out and really address the massive racial economic disparities in Milwaukee, which are among, if not the worst, in the country. We began a campaign with a coalition to really call out and call attention to the role of We Energies in charging excessive utility prices.
It's really
discriminatory.
Dr. Craig, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, we're aligned with Walnut Way, Earl, who you know, the
Yankee
Heights Neighborhood Association, and their leader, Antonio Butts. And so we're actually going to have, Earl, if people are interested, 6 p.m. tomorrow, if people can brave the snow and cold, but you get more attention if you brave the snow and cold, we're going to be going to the Fisor Farm where the city Christmas tree is, which is sponsored and branded by We Energies, and they're calling it the Cheer District. It's in the Deer District. And to point out that people are getting a lump of coal in their stocking from We Energies, and they gave an 11% rate increase. And in addition, we're continuing to get rates that are regressive, that the people who pay the most for the utilities as far as their income, energy burden, are the people who have the lowest incomes. And African Americans in the city of Milwaukee often pay 6 to 20% of their incomes just for utility bills. And Earl, you can't meet your other needs if you have to pay rent.
Dr. Craig, the other tragedy in that is that they live in homes that aren't energy efficient.
And We Energy blocks their access to energy conservation, the solar you go seeing going on middle class houses, because the mechanisms for doing that, they block because they don't actually want it. They want people to consume more of their coal power. At a time when we're facing, you know, a threat to human civilization from fossil fuel burning. So they're outrageous. There is odious as the pharmaceutical industry or the health insurance industry, and we need people to understand that better, and that they're standing in the way of a lot of what we need to do, and they're harming people tremendously in this holiday season.
There are
kids who will get barely any Christmas presents because their families have had to pay the exorbitant rates for their energy.
So what time is that event?
6 p.m. in front of the city's Christmas tree, which you will see as a big We Energy sign in front of it, which is stunning. And we have the second oldest city Christmas tree in the country after New York. So this is a tradition that we've allowed this for-profit entity, which has a monopoly over our energy in this city, in this region, to take over and to put their name on.
Hey, Dr. Craig, I'll do everything within my power to join you because there are people who don't understand. Once the winter is over, there are people who face the cutting off of their services because during the winter, they've amassed these tremendous heating bills that they can't pay, and it's a double whammy. They become homeless April 15th because the moratorium ends, and so people don't have gas or electric. There used to be a time when they were separate, and maybe, you know, if you didn't have gas, you could use a heating plate, but We Energies now controls both. And so people actually become homeless after this horrible winter with these high heating bills. It seems like people don't get a fair shot at things, Dr. Craig. And it's why I respect Citizen Action, you and Citizen Action so much, because you fight for the people who don't, have enough people fighting for them.
And our climate equity director, who you know, Earl, Raphael Smith.
No.
He remembers viscerally. I think you know Rafi.
I remember him. I had him on once before.
Yeah. So Rafi remembers, he grew up in the north side of Milwaukee, very working class African-American family, that his mom had eight kids. And he remembers viscerally and painfully the utilities going off.
Right.
Where they're and he remembers one time his mom, who worked two jobs and was working her tail off. So it's not what the conservative Republicans in the gerrymandered legislature say about folks, right? These are folks working their tail off. She told them there was a general power outage because she was embarrassed. So people feel embarrassed for their own exploitation. And then he was able to suss out as a young kid looking around that the other light seemed to be on. So he knew his mom just didn't want to tell him what really happened.
Yeah, you know, Dr. Craig, I constantly, the older I get, the more frustrated I get with our country, because it doesn't have to be the way it is. And yet, if we can bring people together and educate them enough, we can push back enough and force the nation to be what it says it is. But it's not going to happen without the battle, right?
No, it's about power, Earl. And so we could rein in We Energies, take away its domination of our energy system. I mean, all Walnut Way was asking for, and we were supporting their challenge to the rate increase at the Public Service Commission, is a rate system that is adjusted based on your ability to pay, and which is what we expect on taxes. In other words, we have a flat utility rate, but as you pointed out, it's even higher because redlining forced black and brown people into Milwaukee into the oldest, least energy efficient housing. And what you could energy retrofit those houses. You could save people tons of money if they had a whole lot of energy conservation measures and also rooftop solar on top of that.
Right.
And the way that's financed in, say, Chicago by Commonwealth Edison, another big utility, and allowed in other states, neighboring states, in addition to Illinois, is what's called on-bill financing, which sounds complicated. But what it means is those upgrades, they pay for themselves. Your utility bill comes down so much that even paying off the cost of doing the work is less than your savings. And so on-bill financing has the utility pay for it, and then they're paid back on people's bills over time. And that gets a lot more people giving access. Otherwise, you have to be able to qualify for a bank loan, make the payments, and or have the cash yourself. So those middle-class solar panels you're seeing up, those are folks who can pay out of pocket, or they can simply get a refi on their mortgage and pay for it. And low-income folks don't have access to that. And I'm talking about homeowners. We get to renters. They, which is 75% of African Americans in Milwaukee, as you well know, Earl, the landlords pass utility costs usually on to them, and the landlords have no incentive to do these upgrades.
No. So Dr. Craig, 2023, thoughts?
Well, the Supreme Court race is huge because it's for control, and we could have a Supreme Court that actually had a majority of judges on it, that actually could give us fair maps. Right now, this court has been, and this is the court that'll deal with the the 1849 abortion ban, which the U.S. Supreme Court, with its Trump majority, has brought back to life, a zombie bill that everyone had forgotten, a zombie law, actually. Things like a lot of voter suppression, like the getting rid of ballot drop boxes, much more convenient, actually very secure, more secure than most other forms of voting. A court did that, a right-wing court in the state Supreme Court. That was not a legislative enactment to get rid of them. Same with this bizarre requirement, Earl, that when you have to have a witness, already a hurdle, if you vote absentee, say you're a person who's homebound, has a disability, if that witness forgets to put their zip code on, even though they put their address on, so they're findable. You can do a web search in 10 seconds and find out the zip code of any address, right? They ruled that the ballot was now thrown out for the lack of the zip code of the witness. I mean, that's absurd, right? And not even only requires zip code in the first place, but that's in statute. But what used to happen is that the clerks used to simply fill them in and look them up, because it's not a fraud problem. It is simply trying to make it harder for people to vote and throw out votes unnecessarily. These are things courts are doing, and there's a lot more, Earl. So I think that that election, the primaries in February, the general election is in April, that has huge implications for whether we can do a lot of
things. Doc, hold that thought. Gotta go to a break. 844-967-2789. Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. We'll be right back.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
That dog does not want to be petted.
Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. Take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. Saturday morning. Snow likely this afternoon, otherwise cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 27. Northwest winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy tonight, snow likely 7 below, snow likely tomorrow 1 above, cloudy skies. 2 to 4 inches of snow today through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 19 degrees.
A progressive voice from Beaver Dam to Kenosha, WAUK 540 AM, always streaming at waukradio.com.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 844-967-2789. That's 844-967-2789. You can text us at that same number. My guest is Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action. You know, Dr. Craig, 2023, what do we have? We've got the spring elections, right?
Yep, we got, but not everyone's up. Like, right. The mayor of Milwaukee isn't up. But, spring elections, which include state Supreme Court, but a lot of important local elections around the state as well. Yes, and that's the only electoral. Then we know the presidential, we're a battleground state, really starts the middle of next year. And even started in the Republican side, Donald Trump is an official candidate.
So let me ask you, Dr. Craig, Joe Biden will be 82 years old. And you know, even, you know, I'm 68, and I'll tell you, 2 years from now, if I'm blessed enough, I'll be 70. Things change from 68 to 70. Clearly, 82 years old, you know, running for become the most powerful man on the planet. What are Democrats going to do? I mean, we can't say, well, Joe's going to run again. He says he's going to run again. He'll be 82 going into it. I mean, is that a conversation that should be had?
I guess there's not really the old days when there was a power block of the Democratic Party making these decisions and brokered conventions. So it's a simple question. If he wants to run, if he chooses to run, will anyone run against an incumbent president who just had the most successful midterm since Franklin Delano Roosevelt?
He'll be 82.
I know, but someone has to challenge him, and they seem to have left the field. here's what we don't know, Earl. It would make no sense. We don't know how Joe Biden feels health-wise,
right?
How vigorous he's feeling or not feeling.
Right.
We don't actually know if he wants a second term. We do know that if he announced he didn't want one now, he would lose a lot of power
and
become a lame duck. So if he's going to announce this, it's going to be this summer. And so at this point, obviously Vice President Harris, Secretary of Transportation Buttigieg, they won't challenge him. If you think of Gavin Newsom, I'm just thinking of possible candidates, or Gretchen Whitmer, those are the governors of California and Michigan, respectively, could defeat an incumbent president in the primary.
No way.
Then if he wants to run, he can run, and it's going to be him versus whatever is presented to us by the other side, which is either complete abject white nationalist fascism, Donald Trump, or, shall we say, slightly less offensive varieties, the governor Ron DeSantis of Florida, or the governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, are two examples. Youngkin being especially chameleon-like, being able to appeal to the MAGA wing while pretending to be a very moderate business conservative.
You know, Dr. Craig, and I know I don't expect you to have the answer, but I've certainly been twisting and tormented with, I'm a guy who has said, yes, even though I didn't support Biden initially, I can't say he hasn't done some good things. He's done some really good things. He's got some things accomplished. But at 82 going in is just, to me, an awful lot to ask of anybody, right? And
I mean, life expectancy's increased, Earl. I mean, my God, how old is Tom Brady? So you do have people are able to, or and Anthony Fauci seems like a 50-year-old and he's in his 80s. So I don't want to say, I don't want to be an ageist, but you tend to be right that people in their 80s are less likely to be up to one of the most difficult jobs there is in the world.
Yeah, the most difficult job there is in the world. And I don't know. I'm just, you know, and I was trying to look, Dr. Craig, at alternatives. What have the Democrats not done a good job of prepping for the future? You know.
I guess, you know, that's always a problem at the presidential level. We've definitely not got a good job in the state of Wisconsin, for example, with legislative candidates or potential gubernatorial candidates. That's what makes Mandela Barnes different, which is unusual to have someone with that name recognition who ran that kind of race out there without elected office. We don't usually have someone in the background like that. But here's the thing, right? Do we want, we have to be very careful here, because we can be pundits and say that there are all sorts of problems with having Biden be the standard bearer. And by the way, there's nothing to stop him from serving 2 years and then making Vice President Harris president, right? But here's the thing, right? We need to win this election. This has to do with the future of democracy. And at this point, Joe Biden looks like the strongest general election candidate. And quite frankly, the federal government is so vast that the president doesn't run it all personally.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.